Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." One of the reasons I wanted to meditate on these three verses is because they are three of the greatest verses in the entire Bible. I would put these verses on a par with John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should never perish but have everlasting life." Paul the Apostle is telling us in a very succinct way how God saves sinners. How is it that God saves sinners? The whole message of the Bible is the message of God's redemptive love. John 3:16 by Martin Luther was called the Bible in one verse. And I believe that we have the Bible in three verses. Now, because of that, I think every Christian should memorize Ephesians 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. And I am actually putting forth a challenge to every one of you here at this church: memorize Ephesians 8, 9, and 10. And you say, "Well, what translation do I memorize it in?" Any translation you want to memorize it in. Now, I preach from and read from and study from the King James Version. Sometimes people ask me, "What version are you reading?" When I'm reading, I'll sometimes kind of twist the words or give a different meaning or flavor to a word. But I'm reading straight from the King James. The New King James is good. The NIV is good. There are other good translations. But find one that suits you and put these verses to memory. They are vitally important. Over and over again, you will use them in witnessing or evangelizing. This week, I was on the north shore of Kauai in the little city of Hanalei Bay. I was in a store, and the woman that was waiting on me, so I had my Red Barn Jesus Loves You t-shirt on. And she said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes, I'm a Christian." And she said, "Do you read the Bible?" I said, "Yeah, I read the Bible." She said, "Oh, there's so many horrible things in the Bible, all those people killing and robbing and blood and violence and war, and you know, why would you read the Bible?" And I was able to share with her that she needed to read in the New Testament book of the Gospel of John. I said, "You have a Bible?" "Yes," she said. "Well, then get the Bible, New Testament, turn to John chapter 1, verse 1, and read the Gospel of John." I said, "The issue is who Jesus is, and you'll see there that he's the Son of God who died for our sins and rose again." And then I started just kind of preaching a little mini sermon right there at the counter to her. And the other store workers were gathered around behind the counter, and everyone in the store started coming over. And, you know, I thought, wow, this is great. I get to preach right here in the store. And I was sharing the gospel with her, and I finally came to Ephesians, my text, chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And I was able to tell her, you know, by grace we are saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And she was seemingly so receptive in listening to the gospel found here in Ephesians. It's so important to hide God's word in your heart. And when the Lord opens the door, you're ready to be able to share the word of God. I didn't have a Bible with me, but I could quote this verse to her and share the gospel with her. So I challenge you to put these verses to memory. Now, there are two basic things we're going to look at. First, we're going to look at God's work for us. And then we're going to look at God's work in us and through us. So God works for us, that is salvation. God's work in us, that is sanctification. And God's work through us, that is service. Now notice he says, "For by grace are we saved." Now Paul is picking up in verse 8, 9, and 10 from his parenthetical statement he made at the end of verse 5, where he said there, "By grace you are saved." So in reality, verses 8, 9, and 10 is an amplification or a commentary on the parenthetical statement in verse 5, by grace you are saved. Because when you come to that fifth verse, he just makes that statement, by grace you are saved. And he stops there. But when you get to verse 8, he comes back to that same thing, by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourself, it is a gift of God, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. So he's got the positive and the negative there. But notice it is by grace we are saved. This sets Christianity apart from all other religions. And I emphasize the word all. All other religious systems teach some form of saving yourself. It really boils down to this. Listen carefully. Either man saves himself, or God saves man by his grace. Buddhism teaches that we are saved by good works and self-discipline. Islam teaches you are saved by good works, adherence to the Quran, and by self-discipline. The Jehovah's Witnesses teach that the death of Jesus Christ, his atonement, made it possible for us to do good works and to earn our merit, our salvation. The Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, known as Mormonism, they teach that one must practice good works and water baptism in order to be saved. All other religions teach some form of good works. Christianity is totally unique in that it teaches God saves man solely by his grace. That man has no part to play except for faith in Jesus Christ. Now, some will argue and say, but John, you need faith and works. And they try to combine the two. It's so important to understand that grace and works are mutually exclusive. That you cannot be saved both by works or religious rites or rituals and by grace at the same time. Grace means unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor. And if you are getting salvation by grace, then you can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You can't merit it. It's just the favor of God. Now, I've heard some say, well, it's like a rowboat. You know, when you get on a rowboat, you're going to cross the lake. You need both oars. One oar represents works, and the other oar represents faith. Now, that sounds kind of good, doesn't it? You know, you have one oar. If you only have faith and you try to row, the boat goes in a circle. You don't get anywhere. And if you have the other oar, you know, works, and you row them both, you get across the lake. Someone shared that with Harry Ironside one time. He said, there's only one problem to that. And he said, what? No one's going to heaven in a rowboat. That's a big problem. The analogy breaks down. God saves us by his grace. This is absolutely fundamental and essential Christianity. It is actually what prompted what is known as the Protestant Reformation. Now, I don't mean to offend anyone. I guess I do it all the time, so I might as well do it again, but I don't mean to do it. But Roman Catholicism very subtly does teach that justification is not by faith alone. And Martin Luther's break from the Roman Catholic Church was about this very issue. Is a man saved by faith alone through grace, or are we justified by penance and good works and religious deeds? And he discovered, reading the scriptures, rightfully so, that the Bible, which we must submit to as our supreme authority, not the church, for the Roman Catholic Church teaches that the Bible is the product of the church. Therefore, the church is the authority, not the Bible. We must view the Bible as the ultimate authority rather than the church, and that the Bible clearly teaches that we are saved by grace alone through faith alone, not by works. And that the two are mutually exclusive. Paul, writing to the Romans, says that if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to boast. but not before God. How was Abraham justified? By faith. God made him a promise, and he believed God's promises before circumcision, before the law, before any rites or rituals were ever introduced. He believed God, and God imputed to him, or put to his account, righteousness. Christianity teaches, the Bible teaches, that we are saved by grace alone. How wonderful, how marvelous. You say, why is that such a big deal? Because in the weakness of my sinful flesh, God does what I could never, ever do for myself. Did you know that there's no way you can save yourself? There's no way that you can save yourself. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one righteous. No, not one. It's like hanging on a precipice, holding on to a bush, as the analogy has been given. And there's no way that we can save ourselves. We're hanging helplessly on this bush if God doesn't come to our rescue and deliver us, we will surely be destroyed. Paul makes it very clear that we are saved by grace. Notice it is a gift of God. Romans 6, verse 23, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Either you save yourself or God saves you. You say, well, is there nothing that I can do? Well, there is something that you can do. It's called faith, verse 8. By grace are you saved? How? Through faith. But faith is not a work. Now, what do we mean by through faith? We mean through trusting the work that Jesus did. It does take a work to save a sinner. But that work was done by the Savior, Jesus, on the cross. And when he died, he cried, "It is finished," which means paid in full. And so there was a work done. Salvation is free to you and I, but it's not cheap. It was very expensive. It cost God the Father the life of his Son. It cost God the Son his very own life on the cross. But what is our part to play? The work has already been done. Simply trusting Jesus to save you. And I don't hesitate to use the word simply. Salvation is so profound that the greatest theological minds cannot comprehend it, but it is so simple that the youngest children can open their hearts and trust Jesus Christ and be saved. When I was a boy of 8 years old, I sat in a church service just like this, and an invitation was given, and I walked down the aisle crying tears of repentance and asked Jesus to come into my heart. I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget that sense of being washed and cleansed and being forgiven. I mean, how many evil things can you do by the time you're 8? I guess I did quite a few. But I'll never forget asking Jesus to come into my heart. And he never left me, and he never forsake me. And all those years of wandering off his path, God always brought me back to him. What a wonderful thing that is. Points up the importance of child evangelism as well, I might add. Pray that children come to him at that tender age. How wonderful to know that God saves me by simply trusting him. That's what faith is. Faith is putting your trust in God to save you. And then he negatively goes on and says, not of yourselves, or that not of yourselves. Now, theologians debate as to whether that not of yourself is a reference to the faith, or is it a reference to salvation. I believe that it is a reference to salvation. Grammatically, this is supported. And that not of yourself is not referring to your faith. It is referring to salvation. He's saying there that by grace are you saved through faith. Saved. And that is saved, is not of yourself. You remember in verses 1 to 7, we were dead, we were disobedient, we were depraved, and we were doomed. Now, how do you save yourself? You're dead, you're depraved, you're disobedient, and you're doomed. You can't save yourself. So what happened? Remember verse 4? But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even verse 5, when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us or made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Notice he opens the verse with, but God, and he ends the verse with, by grace are you saved. If it weren't for the grace of God, none of us would be saved. You're saved today by God's grace. I am saved today by the grace of God. No wonder John Newton could write, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Oh, praise God for His marvelous grace. Your heart should rejoice and leap forward toward God with thanksgiving for His grace in saving us from this horrible pit of sin. By His love and by His grace and by His mercy, we are saved. And notice that this method of God saving sinners by His grace through faith is in order that no one should boast, verse 9, lest any man should boast. Now, how'd you like to get to heaven and have people boasting? Yeah. I'm pretty spiritual. What'd you do to get here? Matter of fact, I'm surprised you're here. You're pretty flaky. Now me, I was a really good guy. Yeah, I went to church, I got baptized, sang in the choir. Never said a bad word. I was really spiritual. That's why I'm here. All eternity, it's just one big brag session. What a bummer. When we get to heaven, everyone's going to be there because they're saved by grace. Grace puts us all on level ground, on common ground. Rich, poor, male, female, old people, young people, middle-aged, yellow, black, white, no matter what color, they're all saved by the grace of God. No one's going to be in heaven because they deserve to be there. If we got what we deserved, we'd be in hell. Notice I smile when I say that. Oh, God is so good to save us by His grace. How wonderful is the grace of God. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon. Grace that will cleanse. Grace that is greater than all of our sins. The grace of God. You're saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then notice not only God's work for us and saving us, but now that twofold work of God working in us, verse 10, and through us for service. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. His workmanship. The first and emphatic word of the sentence is His. What does that mean? Grammatically, it means the emphasis is on God. You are His workmanship. He saved you by His grace, and now by His grace, He is working in your heart. Salvation is only the beginning. Isn't that marvelous? God doesn't just save us and leave us. He saves us to change us. And salvation is the beginning of God working in our life. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure, the Bible says. So the emphasis is the fact that God is the one working. Look through the entire Bible and it is God from beginning to end who is acting everywhere. It is God who acts in man's salvation. It is God who works in man's sanctification. It is God by His grace who one day will glorify man. It is all of God. Now, the word workmanship, I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, it is the Greek word poema, P-O-I-E-M-A. And we get our English word poem from that word. The word literally means that which is made, that which is made. It means that as a Christian, I am God's artistry, that God is the artist, and I am His work of art. Now, in looking at some of you, He has a long way to go. He's just begun to scratch a few lines on the paper, and I can't really tell what he's trying to do with you. But he's the master artist. When I was in high school, I had an arts and crafts class, and I could do art, but I could never do pottery. And we had to throw pots on the wheel, and we had the little electric wheels and the clay, and I prepped the clay, and I put it on the wheel. And everything was fine until I touched the clay. As long as I kept my hands off the clay, everything was cool. I mean, nothing happened, but nothing went wrong either. But the minute John Miller's hands touched that clay, whoop, 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 fell on the floor. I couldn't even get it to stay on the wheel. One time I was going, I go, whoa, look at it, it's gone. Whoa, it's looking good. And it went, bloop, 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 bloop. Just fell on the floor. So I take it, I hit the wall, put a couple grooves, making an ashtray. I made hundreds of ashtray in arts and crafts that year. Aren't you glad God doesn't do that to us? You know, he starts working, bloop, 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 bloop. Ah, make him an ashtray. They're not cooperating. Now, the problem there was the potter, not the clay. But the problem with us and God is not the potter. The problem's the clay. We are not yielded. We are not surrendered. We are not allowing God to work in us. Oh, I'll let God save me. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Oh, Jesus, save me. Forgive my sins. Come in my heart. And now I'm on the potter's wheel. And God is beginning to work in my life. Whoa, 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 whoa. I just want to go to heaven. I don't know about this sanctification stuff. Just let me go to heaven when I die. Leave me alone while I'm here on earth. But see, the circumstances, like the wheel, God begins to spin. And the pressure God begins to put on, like the clay. And the Bible says, can the thing form say to the thing which is forming it, why hast thou made me thus? I'm just to be yielded to God's will and let God work. You say, well, does he know what he's doing? Yes, he knows what he's doing. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's all loving. He's all holy and righteous. And you know, when you look at the potter shaping our life, you look closely at the hands that are molding you, those hands are scarred. Because he died for you. He loves the clay. God loves you and wants to work in your life. He wants to change your values. He wants to change your attitudes. He wants to change your outlook on life, what motivates you, what drives you. God wants to work in you. You are his poema. Now, the means by which God works is His Holy Spirit. But He has three tools that the Spirit of God uses to work in your life. The first is the Word of God. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and transforms the child of God into the image of the Son of God. But see, if I don't spend time in the Bible, then I circumvent or I hinder what God wants to do in my life. I don't really see God work to the fullest unless I am hiding His Word in my heart. Now, some of you are saved, but you're not really being sanctified into the image of Jesus because you're not spending time in the Bible. You're drying up spiritually. You're not being changed. Remember when Lazarus was risen from the dead? Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Paul said, in you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. But Lazarus still had the grave clothes on. And Jesus made a second statement. He said, loose him and let him go. You see, he was alive, but he still had the old grave clothes on. A lot of Christians have been born again. They have spiritual life. But they're going around wearing their old grave clothes. And that's why the Bible says, put off the old man and put on the new man. You need to be loosed and let go. You need to be free. And He wants to get rid of those old grave clothes in your life. He wants to work in your heart. He wants to do a work in your heart will affect your relationships. I think of marriage. I was with Ron and Judy. And Ron got up Sunday morning and he announced to the church, it's our anniversary. And the congregation said, which one?
Now, the reason is because they got married twice. Ron got saved after they'd been divorced, and then Judy got saved, and then the Lord worked in their hearts and changed their hearts, and they got married again. Isn't that cool? I mean, they'd been divorced, they both got saved, and the Lord brought them back together. That's a miracle. What a wonderful thing that is. God saves you, God works in you. Are you letting Him work? Are you yielded to His will? You're on the potter's wheel right now. God wants to work through His Word. The second tool He uses is prayer. You read the Bible and you pray. And the Spirit of God releases the power in our lives through prayer. Now, if you just read the Bible, but you don't pray, again, you're going to circumvent God's work in your life. And then the third tool God uses, this is the one we don't like, that's circumstances. Trials, tribulation, troubles, difficulties. Some of you right now, God is working in your life through difficulties or through adverse circumstances. Maybe you've lost a job, or you've lost your health, or you lost your home, or maybe your marriage is just dissolved. But God can work in those circumstances to change your heart, to change your life, to change your attitude. Now, why does God want to work in us? He wants to work in us so that He can work through us. Verse 10, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should what? Walk in them. Christians sometimes minimize the importance of good works. They say, oh, we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. Right. But James points out that we show others our faith by our works. And a faith that has not works is not a saving faith. It's a dead faith. John Calvin said, faith alone saves, but the faith that saves is not alone. If it's a real, genuine faith, it will manifest itself in works. Now, I'm not saved by works, but works are an indication that I am saved. And God has actually saved us. He's working in us so that He can work through us. That's called service. God's work for us, salvation. God's work in us, sanctification. And God's work through us, service. What is God doing through your life? Is your life manifesting good works? Have you been saved? Does your life manifest that work that God has done in your life and saving you? I think of Moses. How God worked in Moses' life. First 40 years, raised in the court of Pharaoh. Next 40 years, watching sheep in the wilderness. He's 80 years old, and he sees a bush burning in the desert. Thinks he better check it out. And God speaks from the bush and says, Moses, take your shoes off. The place you're standing is holy ground. I've called you. I want you to go to Pharaoh and command him to release my people. God had worked in his life in order to work through his life. Do you notice, ever notice too, that God's never in a hurry? 80. Just wanted you to know that to be encouraged. There's hope. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. Can you imagine Moses is 70 years old thinking, man, I wasted my opportunity. I could be sitting on the throne of Egypt right now. But in reality, the Bible says he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He chose to follow God, and God worked in him and tried him and tested him, the circumstances and the difficulties and the hardships, so that he could use his life. I think of Joseph, 13 years. Joseph went through trials. You think you're having a bad day? 13 years. It all started off when his brothers sold him as a slave. Can you imagine Joseph in a group therapy session? Joseph, what's your problem? Oh, my brothers sold me. Really? Bummer. Yeah. became a slave, you know. Then Potiphar's wife, I had a good job, and then Potiphar's wife, you know, messed things up and lied about me. I got thrown in prison, and, you know, and then the butler forgot me. And I mean, just one trial after another. And no, Joseph never became bitter or angry, it would indicate, toward God, but let God work. And the time came, the opportunity came, that God wanted to work through Joseph. I think of David. God had called David to be king, but before he could sit on the throne, he had to run around the desert hiding in caves from King Saul. God was working in his heart to work through his life. Despise not the time of small things. God is working in you because he has a plan to work through you. God is doing something. I don't know what it is, but God's got a purpose and a plan. You may be discouraged today. Yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, I'm going to heaven. But, you know, what is God doing? Why is God allowing this? What is God trying to do with my life? God has a purpose. He's ordained these good works. Notice in verse 10, the good works are before ordained. I believe that God has our lives all laid out. And I'm really urging you this morning to let Him have His way in your life. Don't fight it. Don't resist it. Let God have His way. Say, Lord, take my life. Let me be yielded like clay on the potter's wheel. You've saved me. Sanctify me, Lord. Make me more like Jesus. Change me from the inside out. Lord, just work on me. And then work through me. Take my life. Let's pray.